Stavatmajah अथाहनिपतिम् राजन्
अथाहनिपतिम् राजन्
भविते कष्टवात्मजः
भविते कष्टवात्मजः
हर्षशोकपतस्तुभ्यम्
हर्षशोकपतस्तुभ्यम्
इति ब्रह्मसुतोयो
इति ब्रह्मसुतोयो अथाहनिपतिम् राजन् भविते कस्तवात्मजः हर्षशोकप्रदस्तुभ्यम् इति ब्रह्मसुतो ययो
इति ब्रह्मसुतो ययो
अथाहनिपतिम् राजन् भविते कस्तवात्मजः हर्षशोकप्रदस्तुभ्यम्
इति ब्रह्मसुतोयो माताजि
अथाहनिपतिम् राजन् भविते कस्तवात्मजः हर्षशोकप्रदस्तुभ्यम् इति ब्रह्मसुतो ययो अथाहनिपतिम् राजन् भविते कस्तवात्मजः हर्षशोकप्रदस्तुभ्यम् इति ब्रह्मसुतो ययो
सो वर्ड फॉर वर्ड सिनोनिम्स अथ
अथ
देयर आफ्टर
देयर आफ्टर
आह
आह
सेड
सेड
नृपतिम
नृपतिम
अंटू द किंग
अंटू द किंग
राजन
राजन
ओ किंग चित्रकेतु
ओ किंग चित्रकेतु
भविता
भविता
देयर
विल बी
एकः
एकः
वन
वन
तव
तव
योर
योर
आत्मजः
आत्मजः
सन
सन
हर्षशोक
हर्षशोक
जुबिलेशन एंड लेमेंटेशन
जुबिलेशन एंड लेमेंटेशन
प्रपः
प्रपः
टू विल गिव
तुभ्यम् तुभ्यम्
टु यू इति
इति
धस् ब्रह्मसुतः
ब्रह्मसुतः
अंगिरा ऋषि
अंगिरा ऋषि
द सन ऑफ लॉर्ड ब्रह्मा
द सन ऑफ लॉर्ड ब्रह्मा
ययौ
ययौ
लेफ्ट
लेफ्ट
ट्रांसलेशन एंड परफॉर्म्ड बाय श्री प्रभुपाद देयर आफ्टर द ग्रेट सेज टोल्ड द किंग ओ ग्रेट किंग नाउ यू विल हैव अ सन हु विल बी द कॉज ऑफ बोथ जुबिलेशन and lamentation. The sage then left without waiting for Chitraketu's response. Purport. The word Harsha means jubilation and Shoka means lamentation. The king was overwhelmed with joy when he understood that he would have a son. Because of his great jubilation, he could not actually understand the statement of the sage Angira. He accepted it to mean that there would certainly be jubilation because of the birth of his future son, but that he would be the king's only son and being very proud of his great wealth and empire would not be very obedient to his father. Thus the king was satisfied, thinking, let there be a son, it does not matter if he is not very obedient. In Bengal, there is a proverb that instead of having no maternal uncle, it is better to have a maternal uncle who is blind. The king accepted this philosophy, thinking that a disobedient son would be better than no son at all. The great sage Chanakya Pandita says, Kortha putrena jatena yona vidvan na dharmikah kaanena chakshusha kimva chakshushah pidaiva kevalam chakshuh pidaiva kevalam. What is the use of a son who is neither a learned scholar or a devotee? Such a son is like a blind, diseased eye which always causes suffering. Nevertheless, the material world is so polluted that one longs to have a son even though he is useless. This attitude was represented in the history of King Chitraketu.
Om Akyanati Miranthasya Jnanam Jana Shalakaya Chakshurun Mimitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupah Adamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guruho Shri Yudhapadakapadam Shri Guru Kaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Satyajatam Sahara Raghunatham Vitantam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijatam Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Param Sahara Ika Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gope
unto the lotus feet of their lordships, Shri Shri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Shri Shri Nityananda Prabhu, along with their eternal associates like Shri Rupa Goswami and Shri Sanatana Goswami, and all the other six Goswamis of Shri Dham Vrindavan. Finally, I would like to pay my obeisances unto the lotus feet of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who has very nicely propagated and dispersed the gospels and doctrines of Krishna consciousness throughout the world in this present modern era. And so I would like to commence under the context which is under discussion, the context of the sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, especially in relation to King Chitraketu and his will-be lamentation. So, in this part of Srimad Bhagavatam, actually this sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam begins by delineating the glories of Bhagavan Nam Hari Nam, or the glorification of the Lord's transcendental holy names, which are rather described in the Shastras as being even more compassionate, munificent and merciful than the benevolent Lord Himself. As it has been described in the Shastras, especially in Padma Purana, by Lord Vedavyas, that Nama Chintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Purna Shuddho Nitya Mukto Abhinnatvan Nama Naminoho Nama Chintamani Krishna. These holy names of the Lord, they are Radha and Lord Krishna personified, because there is no difference of designation and designated respectively when we talk about the absolute truth or the Advaita Jnana Tattva. That remains absolutely no, not even a tinge of differentiation, even a tinge of differentiation does not exist between the principles of designated and designation, or Vachak Tattva and Vachya Tattva, so to say. Vachaka Tattva means that which tells, that which defines, that which denotes, that which implies. And Vachya Tattva means that which is designated, implied, denoted, or said. That which is the real goal of any word. That which is the definition of that particular term. So the names of the Lord, they are considered to be designations. And what do they imply? They actually imply the transcendental icon, Satchidananda Vigraha, which is full of cognition, felicity, and eternal existence, which is full of all these three attributes, that transcendental icon of the Lord, that icon of Lord Shri Krishna, who is always with Srimati Radharani in Shri Bhama Vrindavan, that icon, that personal form of the Lord is being denoted by various nomenclatures and designations such as Shri Krishna, Govinda, Ram, Hrishikesha, etc. But in the spiritual world, as in contrast with the general rule of the material world, there remains not even a tinge of difference between the designation and the designated. In the material world, any type of designation will certainly differ from the actual substance or object that has been denoted by it. Just as in the case of water, Srila Prabhupada gives this example. He uses this instance to demonstrate, to display that in the material world, all the terminologies, all the nouns, all the shabdas, all the namas and shabdas, all the nouns, all the words, certainly different from the actual substance that which they are describing. But that is not the case in the spiritual world. That is why abhinnatvan namanaminoho. For that same reason, Lord Vedavyas says, Aminatva Navaraminoho. The name and the named. Name is the Nama Tattva, Harinam Prabhu. And named is the Lord Himself. The name and the named principle, the designation and the designated, they are not different in the spiritual world. So, by describing these glories, these supramundane glories, which are not superfluous, which are not exaggerations, otherwise the Nama Aparadha will occur. Tathartha Vavo Harinam Nikalpana. If we consider that within the Harinam, there is even little scope of exaggeration, then we will be conducting at the same time Nama Aparadha along with Harinam, and that will not give us the real fruit of Prema Bhakti. So, Nama Chintamani Krishna. This Nama is Krishna Himself personified. And it is like Chintamani. It is like the Kalpataru, the Kalpatrum, or the Kalpavriksha, or Kalpalataya. It is like the vine or the tree, desire tree or the desire vine. Because it fulfills the desires of the devotees. And devotees have what desire? Devotees have no other desire except for the satisfaction of the Lord. Soul satisfaction of the Lord is the only desire existing within the hearts. So Nama Chintamani, Nama is like the desire tree of the desire to attain Prema Bhakti, no other desire. Nama Chintamani Krishna, Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. And this Nama, because it is no different from the Lord Himself, that is why, just as Lord Krishna is known as Akhila Rasamrita Murtihi, in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu Rupa Goswami says he is the embodiment, he is the very personification. He is not just representative, rather he is the very embodiment, he is the personification. He is the Vigraha, he is the Murt Vigraha of all the 12 rasas. But because the name of the Lord is also not different from the Lord, that is why name of the Lord also has the same characteristic. That is, the name of the Lord is also full of 12 rasas. The name of the Lord is also 12 rasas personified. So, Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. It is itself conscious rasa personified. Nama Chintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. Purnam Shuddho. It is completely pure. Unlike the propounders of Maya philosophy, the established followers of Adi Shankaracharya, they say that the Advaitvadins, the Mayavadins, they say that, oh, Purnam Shuddho, this Harinam is not pure. Why it is not pure? Why? They say it is contaminated, it is adulterated. Why it is adulterated? Because they say that Harinam is a product of Vani, is product of the faculty of speech. And the faculty of speech is nothing but the mixture of the three modes of material nature, according to Sankhya Darshan. That is why they say that because Harinam are uttered by the help of tongue, tongue assists the vocal faculty, tongue or jihvendriya, tongue assists the vocal faculty, vagendriya, in uttering, in pronouncing any particular word in this material world. So Harinam is also a word, and Harinam is also pronounced, and the integrated cause of the pronunciation of Harinam is the faculty of voice faculty, vocal faculty. That is why, since vocal faculty is itself the product of three modes of material nature, anything coming out as product of that vocal faculty will also be considered in a successive chain, ultimately to be the product of three modes of material nature, and that is why Harinam is also Maik. It is also product of the three modes of material nature. But Veda Vyasa says that no, it is not product of material nature, because as soon as the devotee wants to chant Harinam, the Hladini Shakti of Shri Krishna enters into Vak Indriya. Yes, Jiva Goswami explains this rahasya, this confidential secret and intricacy in his Durgam Sangamini Sanskrit commentary on the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. He says that as soon as devotee aspires to execute sadhan bhakti, the Hladini Shakti of Shri Krishna enters into the Vishuddha Sattva, the Hladini Shakti enters into the senses, and then he is able to even chant here the glories of the Lord. And that is why whatever that comes out from the body as a product of Hladini Shakti is certainly not Mayika here. That is why it is said, Purnam Shuddho, Lord's name is completely transcendental, without contamination, Nitya Muktaha. This name is always liberated. Purnam Shuddho Nitya Mukto Abhinnatva Nama Naminaho. Then it is also said, Atah Shri Krishna Namavina Bhavid Grahma Indriya Yahi Sevon Mukhehi Jivadav Svayamev Spratyadaha. Because the names of the Lord are transcendental and inconceivable, and they are transcendental to the material nature, that is why they cannot be uttered by the material senses on their own. Only if the material senses are influenced and permeated and permeated by the internal potency, only then the Lord's names can be uttered. Just like fire pervades the iron rod, and then the iron rod is able to burn any particular item. So if the material senses are permeated and pervaded by the internal potency, only then the material senses are able to utter Lord's name. That is why Atah Shri Krishna Namadina Bhavet Grahyam Indriya Ihari Sevan Mukhehi Jivadav. As soon as the devotee desires to serve the holy name appears and the internal potency also appears. Sevan Mukhehi Jivadav Swayameva Spratyadaha. So in this way, the glorification of the holy name is described, and in Srimad Bhagavatam it is especially described by saying, Sanketyam Parihasyam Va, in this very sixth canto, in the context of Ajamil, Sanketyam Parihasyam Va, Stoham Helanam Eva Va, Vaikulthanam Adhanam Ashishagaharam Viduhu. Even if these the holy names of the Lord, they are taken as in the task of signaling someone, giving signal to someone, or in the case of addressing someone, Sanketyam Parihasyam Va, or in the case of rejoicing or joking, so Sanketyam Parihasyam Va, or in the case of chastisement or rebuke, in any sense, if the Harinam is taken, Sanketyam Parihasyam Va, Stobham Helanam Eva Va, Vaikunthanam Grahanam Ashishada Haram Viduhu. Then these names of the Lord, they are so benevolent and merciful and compassionate and beneficent that they actually destroy Ashesh Agha, Ashesh Papa. They destroy sins in that much amount which has no limit. That means they destroy the sins in an unlimited amount, in an unfathomable quantity.
sins that cannot be performed in all three times, Bhut, Bhavishyat and Vartman, by the performer, sins up to that extent which cannot be performed by the performer at all the three times, they are completely destroyed by the potency and influence of the Hari name, Harinam, Lord's holy name. So, these are the glories of the Harinam described in this first part of sixth canto. And now, this Chitraketu's prasanga, Chitraketu, who is the greatest devotee of the Lord, his story is going to be narrated. So now the question arises that Chitraketu has not yet become a devotee. Chitraketu is considered to be among the sadhana siddha parshad, sadhana siddha parikaras of the Lord. Chitraketu is actually situated in Shantarati. Chitraketu is not situated in Dasyarati or the active state or in the mood of fraternity, Sakhyarati, or in the mood of paternal, maternal affection, Vatsalyarati, or in the mood of conjugal love, Shrandarati. Rather, he is situated in the very first stage of devotional service, that is known as Shantarati, or the state of devotional service which is passive type of. So passive state means, wow, what is the difference between Dasya and Shant? Dasya means active. Prabhupada translates these terms as active and passive. So Dasya means active. Active means trying to physically serve the Lord. Trying to physically serve the Lord. Trying to serve the physical senses of the Lord. So serving the Lord on a physical level. That is known as Dasyarati, or the mood of servitude, or the active state of devotion. But in Shantarati, there is no possibility of serving the Lord. Prahlad Maharaj, he is example of Shantarati. Dhruva Maharaj, he is example of Shantarati. And here, Maharaj Chitraketu, he will become an example of Shantarati when he will become perfect in devotional service. As of now, he has not become perfect. But when he will become perfect, then he will become an ideal example of Shantarati. Shantarati means, Shantarati only has two characteristics. That is why Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when describing Shantarati or the passive state of devotion, when he is describing this to Rupa and Sanatana in Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela, chapters 19 to 24, at that time Mahaprabhu has defined Shantarati as having two qualities. The intrinsic quality which is innate to the nature of Shantarati, which is innate, which belongs to the internal nature, which belongs to the internal identity of Shantarati, that intrinsic characteristic, that internal attribute of Shantarati is Krishna Nishtha. Krishna Nishtha. And then Mahaprabhu has quoted the verse Shamo Man Nishtha Buddhehe from Srimad Bhagavatam. That verse comes in connection with Uddhava and Krishna's conversation. So, Shant Bhakta, who is having Shant Rati, his special characteristic is that he is fully Krishna Nishtha, or he is fully fixed in Krishna. What do you mean by he is fully fixed in Krishna? What we mean by he is fully fixed in Krishna is that he never forgets Shri Krishna. He always remembers the Lord and he never forgets him. That is why it is said that smartavya satam vishnu vismartavyam na jatuchit sarve vidhi vishelaha suhu etayoreva tindaraha. It is said in Padma Purana that there are many types of nishedha vakyas and vidhi vakyas. There are many types of prohibitive injunctions and regulative injunctions found within the scriptures, all different types of scriptures like Vedas and Puranas, like Shrutis and Smritis. But the crest jewel of all the regulations and prohibitions found within the Shastras are, the crest jewel of all the regulations is always remember Lord Vishnu. Smartavya satatam Vishnu. Without interruption, without interference, without any type of occasional or intermittent incident occurring, always take not periodically, not occasionally, not intermittently, but always, without any interruption or intersection, always take the names of Lord Hari, always remember Him, always sing and chant His glories. Smartavya satatam Vishnu, and never forget Him. So smartavya satatam Vishnu, always remember the Lord, is considered to be the most important type of regulative injunction, vidhi vakya. And never forget the Lord, vismartavyam na jatuchit, is considered to be the most important type of prohibitive injunction. And all the other prohibitive injunctions and regulative injunctions besides these two, except these two, are considered to be the servants, servitors, unconditional servitors of these two main empire-like regulations and prohibitions. Yes. That is why sarve vidhi nishedaha stihu edayo reva kinkaraha. Dusre sab jo nishay aur vidhi vakya hai, wo in dono ki kinkar swarup hai, das swarup hai, sevak swarup hai. So, here, Shantarati means Krishna Nishtha. Krishna Nishtha, or being firmly fixed in Krishna, means always remembering Him and never forgetting Him. And this Krishna Nishtha, two attributes. Shantarati has two attributes. First is Krishna Nishtha, or being fixed in Krishna, and the other is Krishna Tyag. Krishna Tyag means having no other aspiration besides attaining the Lord. Besides attaining the Lord, besides realizing the Lord, besides achieving the Lord, no other inspiration, no other aspiration, no other desire, no other volition, so to speak, no other ichha, like the desires of sense enjoyment or the desires of liberation. None of these desires exist within the Shanta Bhakta. The desire of liberation exists within the jnanis who aspire after liberation. And the desire for sense enjoyment exists within the karmis. But within the bhaktas, and because the Shantarati type of bhakta is not considered to be karmi or jnani, rather he is a bhakta, he is a devotee. He comes into the gradation, into the category of devotee. That is why even the Shantarati, who is the most fundamental or basic type of devotee, having no full-fledged devotional service, his devotional service is only of very basic type. So this Shantarati Bhakta, but because he is devotee, he is not karmi and jnani, that is why he does not have desires for liberation and sense enjoyment, and that is why he is known as Krishna Tyagi, or one who has forsaken, one who has relinquished, rejected, abandoned all types of desires except for realizing and obtaining the Lord's grace. And that is why Krishna Tyag, or forsaking all other desires except for the desire to realize the Lord, this Krishna Tyag is considered to be the extrinsic characteristic of Shantarati. It is not part of the nature of Shantarati. Forsaking all the other desires, material desires, is considered to be the extrinsic attribute of Shantarati, not the intrinsic attribute. But the intrinsic attribute of Shantarati, intrinsic attribute means the attribute, the quality, the characteristic which forms the essential part of the internal nature, internal identity of any particular object. Just like an example can be given here of water. If we say that water is not a solid object and it is also not a gaseous object, because in science there are three phases of all the objects existing within this material world. So gaseous state, solid state and aqueous state. So if we say that water is neither gaseous nor it is solid, then this means that we are still defining the water, we are still defining the qualities of water, but we are defining the extrinsic qualities of the water, also known as tatastha lakshana. We are not defining the intrinsic characteristics of water, which is also known as svarupa lakshana. How? Because by saying that water is not solid nor gaseous, we are just differentiating water from other objects which are of gaseous and solid state. But we are still not defining what water actually is. Even milk is not gaseous and solid. Even blood and urine is not gaseous and solid. So this type of definition that water is not gaseous or solid object is a very general definition. It only gives an idea that water is different from gaseous and solid objects, but it still does not say what water is made up of actually. This we still don't know by this type of definition. So this is extrinsic characteristic, or those characteristics which are not part of the nature of a particular object. Solid and gaseous are not part of the nature of water. They just make water different from other items. Swarupa Lakshana intrinsic characteristic is that water is made up of two molecules of hydrogen and one molecule of oxygen. That is the intrinsic characteristic of water, because that tells us what water is actually made up of, what are the constituents and ingredients of water. That makes us familiar, acquainted, that makes us acquainted with the innate internal identity of the water. In the same way, what is actually Shankrati made up of? Shankrati is not made up of Krishna Pyar or for seeking other desires. Shankrati is made up of Krishna Nishtha, always remembering the Lord. Krishna Pyar is just extrinsic characteristic of Shankrati, differentiating Shankrati from the moods and sentiments of Karmis, Jnanis and Ashtangyogis. Yes. So, Chitraketu Maharaj is on the state of Shankrati, but on the state of Shankrati, there is no desire whatsoever to physically serve the Lord as in the case of Dasyarati. And that is why we will see Prahlad Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj, Chitraketu, these people, they have never obtained physical service of the Lord. Because they are the ideal examples of Shankrati and not Dasyarati. Starting from Dasyarati, the attribute quality of seva, physical service, begins. Before that, it is not there. So, we can say that Shankrati is not devotional service, it is devotion. Starting from Dasyarati, devotional service starts. Because in Shankrati, there is no mood of serving. There is only mood of remembering the Lord, never forgetting Him, but no mood of service actually. Seva bhav hai in Shankrati. Seva bhav Dasyarati se shuru hota. So Chitraketu Maharaj is an example. So now we have understood the ontological position of Chitraketu Maharaj. And before, now Chitraketu Maharaj, at the time when, now this story will be described later, at the time when Chitraketu Maharaj had performed seeming offense, apparent offense, seeming offense, he had performed some type of offense-like act unto the lotus feet of Lord Shiva, because Lord Shiva is considered to be the highest among all the Vaishnavas, among all the devotees of Lord Narayana, existing within this material world. Oh yes, existing within this material world. Otherwise, the highest devotee of all the devotees, of all the incarnations of Lord Krishna, is considered to be Srimati Radhika. Yatha, Radha, Priya, Vishnu, Tasyaha, Pandam, Priyam, Tatha, Sarva-gopishu saivaika vishno latyanta vallabha. And in the last verse of Upadeshamritam, Letter of Instruction, Rupa Goswami also states the same statement that karmibhyah parito harah priyataya vyaktim yayurjnaninah tirhyastah pashupala pankajadrishah tavyo visaradhika prishtha tadvadiyam tadiya sarasi tamnashrayatkah kriti. Yes. Srimati Radhika is the best among all the devotees, even higher than Uddhava. Lord says that, O Uddhava, there is no one dear to me like you, not even my brother Balram, not even my wife, goddess of fortune Lakshmi, not even Brahma and Shiva, not even myself is as dear to me as you are. But the gopis are more dear to the Lord even than Arjuna and Uddhava. Lord says same kind of, as Lord describes to Uddhava, that, O Uddhava, you are dear to me. No one else is dear to me like you. The same type of statement that the Lord has told Uddhava, He has also told to Arjuna in Adipura. So Arjuna and Uddhava are dear to Lord Krishna, even more dear than Balram, Lakshmi and his own Atma, his own self. But still, the gopis of Vraja are more dear to Krishna than Uddhava and Arjuna. And that also he says in Adi Puran to Arjuna, that there is no one dear to me like the gopis, but among all the gopis, Yatha Radha Priya Vishnu, Padma Purana says, among all the gopis, Radha is still the foremost. That is why, if we combine all the devotees living either living both in the material worlds, residing both in the material worlds, spiritual worlds and the marginal world, all the three worlds combined together, the whole Chatushpad Vibhuti, the whole creation of the Lord. Chatushpad Vibhuti means the whole creation of the Lord. If we combine the whole Chatushpad Vibhuti, material world, spiritual world and the marginal world, and if we take, if we compare all the different types of perfected devotees of the different incarnations and expansions of Lord Krishna, like Rama, Vara, Matsya, Narsingh, Kurma, etc. And also if we take all the devotees of Lord Krishna, Swayam Bhagavan, then we will come to the conclusion that no one can excel Srimati Radhika. But when we are talking about the devotees of the Lord only within this material universe, then Lord Shiva is considered to be the highest devotee in a very relative sense, not even ultimate sense. That is why Vaishnavanam Yatha Shambhu. Yes. Lord Srimad Bhagavatam states that just as Samaveda is the crest jewel among all the Vedas, four Vedas, just as Ganges, Ganga is the crest jewel among all the rivers, so also just as Lord Vasudev is the topmost among all the demigods, so also this Srimad Bhagavatam is the topmost among all the Puranas, just like Lord Shiva is the topmost among all Vaishnavas, devotees of Lord Narayana, Vaishnavanam Yatha Shambhu. Unto that Lord Shiva, who is the greatest Vaishnava, Vaishnava, it seems that Chitraketu Maharaj had performed an aparadh or offense. And Vaishnava aparadh, offense unto the lotus feet of a Vaishnava, and offense unto the lotus feet of a topmost Vaishnava within this material world, Lord Shiva. It's certainly Vaishnava aparadh, but it is only seeming Vaishnava aparadh, apparently appearing Vaishnava aparadh. It is resembling Vaishnava Prad, it is a semblance of Vaishnava Prad, it is not Vaishnava Prad. Actually, this is what Vishwanatha Chakravarti defines in his Madhurya Gada meaning. And because it is not Vaishnava Prad, that is why even though Maharaj Chitraketu, who had attained Prema Bhakti, who had attained Prema Bhakti of Shantarati type, who had attained Prema Bhakti, who had attained the goal of Sadhan Bhakti, which is Prema Bhakti, but of Shantarati type, that Chitraketu Maharaj who had now become perfect in devotional service, because perfection in devotional service is achieved by coming to the stage of Prema Bhakti. So who was already perfect in devotional service, that Chitraketu Maharaj, even after becoming demon, even after assuming, undertaking demonic body of Vritrasura, Asuric Yoni, Tamasi Yoni, The demonic species is known as the species which is product of mode of ignorance. Devatas are considered to be the bodies of the celestial angels and demigods residing in paradise, heaven, swargalok. Demigods like Indra, Brahma, etc. Their bodies are considered to be products of mode of goodness, mundane goodness. That is why their bodies are known as sattvika sharir, sattvika yoni, devi yoni. Manav Yoni, the bodies of the human beings are known as products of mode of passion. And the Asuric Yoni, Tamasic Yoni, or the demonic species is known as product of mode of ignorance. So even though Chitraketu was in the Asuric Yoni, or in the body which was fully pervaded by the mode of ignorance, still his Prema Bhakti was not hurt, was not injured. It did not become deteriorated. It did not deteriorate, it did not destroy, even after Chitraketu's entering into the Asuric Tamasi Yoni of demon, the demonic species, even after entering into the demonic body, which is full of ignorance, still his Prema Bhakti was not hurt. It remained as it was. That is why it is explained that Chitraketu's aparadha is not really aparadha under the feet of Lord Shiva. It is only seeming to be a brother. So this Chitraketu is considered to be, because Lord has many different types of associates in his eternal pastimes. So Chitraketu is an associate of Lord Sankarsana, which is one form of Lord Narayana. The second quadruple expansion, known as Dvitiya Chaturbyuha, The first quadruple expansion is the expansion of Dwarka, Vasudev, Pradyumna, Aniruddha and Sankarshan. And the second quadruple expansion, which emanates from the first quadruple expansion of Dwarka, also has Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna and Aniruddha, but the second quadruple expansion stays in Vaikuntha, whereas the first quadruple expansion inhabits in Dwarka. So, the second quadruple expansion, Sankarshan is there, and Chitraketu was the devotee of this Sankarshana form of Lord Narayana, which is also four-handed form of Lord Narayana. So, now Chitraketu was an associate of Lord Narayana, but there are three types of associates. Eternal associates, who are coming out from internal potency of the Lord, and then there are associates coming out from the marginal potency of the Lord. So, those associates who are coming from the marginal potency of the Lord, they are also divided twofold, Kripasiddha Parshad and Sadhana Siddha Parshad. Or those living entities who enter into the pastimes of the Lord and become his associate just by getting the mercy of the Lord and who have to perform no sadhana at all, no sadhana bhakti, who directly attain prema bhakti without performing sadhana bhakti. But this is very rare. This is an exceptional case. This is not normal case. Normal case is sadhana siddha. Sadhana siddha means those living entities who were conditioned in the material world but now coming into contact with the pure devotees of the Lord who have got the seed of pure devotional service and now who have started sadhana bhakti. And after performing sadhana bhakti, when their sadhana bhakti becomes perfect and they attain the stage of prema bhakti and then they enter into the pastimes of the Lord and become his associate, then they are known as sadhana siddha. So, Chitraketu is not kripa siddha, he is not kripa siddha, nor he is nitya siddha. He is not eternal associate coming from the eternal potency of the Lord. Rather, his marginal potency, Jivatma. But he is not Kripa Siddha, he is Sadhana Siddha. He has performed sadhana after learning a great lesson from this incident. The incident that his son will be the cause of both jubilation and lamentation. He will be the cause of both distress and happiness. After learning this great lesson, Chitraketu performs sadhana and then he becomes Sadhana Siddha and becomes the sadhana siddha type of associate of Lord Sankarshana in his Vaikuntha Leela. So, this Chitraketu Maharaj, actually at 8 o'clock we will be hearing the aarti, so we will just wind up in 5 minutes. Certainly, we will elaborate on this shloka and all the other topics related to this connection in our successive classes here. But today we will only like to say here in this context that what Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur actually comments. And Srila Prabhupada's purport here on this shloka, he has taken this purport from the Sanskrit Tika, from the Sanskrit commentary of Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakura's commentary is in Sanskrit and it is known as Sarath Dakshini Tika, or that commentary which exposes the essential meanings of Srimad Bhagavatam. So in this Sarath Dakshini Tika, on this shloka of Srimad Bhagavatam, Vishwanatha says, Harsha Shoka Prada Iti Kena Karanena Harsha Pradaha Kena Prakarena Shoka Da Iti Samprati Aham Kim Bravimi. Vishwanatha Chakravarti is probing into the mind of Sage Angira, because Sage Angira is speaking this statement to Maharaj Chitraketu. So Sage Angira's mind, because Vishwanatha Chakravarti is an internal associate of the Lord, that is why he can understand the minds of all the living entities including Angira. So he, being fully acquainted with the internal mood of Angira, Vishwanatha discloses that Angira was thinking that O King Chitraketu, your son will be giver of both Harsh and Shoka, will be giver of both, he will be the bestower of both the lamentation and jubilation unto you. But in which way he will bestow jubilation to you and in which way he will bestow lamentation to you. Why should I tell you all these things right now? Kena karane harsha pradah, kena prakarane shokada iti samprati aham kim bravimi. At this time, at this particular moment, why should I disclose all these secrets to you, that how he will be the cause of jubilation to you and how he will be the cause of lamentation to you? It is only essential to tell you that he will be the cause of jubilation and lamentation. And that is why he does not say how this will happen. Rather, he speaks in a very ambiguous, abstract manner. And because he fears, who fears? Angira Rishi fears that if I will stay here more, for more time, then he might ask, after contemplating deeply unto the statement that I have spoken, he might ask in which way my son will be the cause of lamentation and jubilation, and that is why he does not want to disclose that fact right now, and that is why he immediately leaves the place. That is why Prabhupada has said, the sage left then without waiting for Chitraketu's response. Immediately, yayau, he went. Nirgatau yayau, he went. He departed from the place. So, kena prakarena shokada iti sampratiham kim bravimi. So now, Angira is thinking that by the incumbent or the waiting or the upcoming waiting incumbent, death and birth respectively of his future child, he will automatically know how the child becomes the cause of his jubilation and lamentation. The king will know how his child will become the cause of jubilation and lamentation once that the incumbent death and birth of his child occurs or takes place, he will automatically know. Because by the birth of the child, he will feel jubilated, and by the death of the child, he will be morose, he will be in great melancholy. That is why iti sampati hamkim bravini janma mrityu bhyam raja eva ayatyam yasyati. He will automatically know by the birth and the death which are upcoming, which will just be coming now. Kincha iyam apriyoktihi api sampati avashya vachya eva agre raja dasya madasya upalambhanasya pratyuttarathamiti manasi vimrishya tattvam spashtam anupvayayam. So, now the question arises that if Angira does not want to disclose on this jubilous occasion of performing sacrifice, because king has just performed sacrifice, then he does not want to disclose this secret right now, how his son will be the cause of jubilation and lamentation, then why he is at all disclosing that his son will be the cause of jubilation and lamentation? So it is said that he is disclosing this fact because Angira does not want to become victim of King Chitraketu's blame, his censure, and his rebuke and chastisement. King Chitraketu will rebuke himself and all the causes that instigated the desire of begetting a child within his mind. After that the child dies, he becomes, he laments, he atones, he rebukes. So here, Angira does not want to become victim of king's censure and chastisement at the time of the lad's death, at the time of the death of the lad, of that child, when king will chastise and rebuke and censure, he does not want to become part of his blame. He wants to make it very clear that I have already told you in beforehand that this son will be the cause of both lamentation and jubilation. So, you have chosen the option to beget the child. It is not me. I told you about all the pros and cons in regards to this child. You cannot blame me. That is why dasya manasya upalambhanasya pratyuttarartham iti manasi vimrishya tattvam spashtam anuptvayayam. But he did not disclose this in a very clear cut way, in a very transparent manner. He rather says in a very ambiguous manner. Putro me bahugunanvetan. What did the king thought? King thought that, oh, my son will be endowed with many good qualities. Putro me bahugunanvetan bhavishyatiti harshadas tadati aishwarya dhityan na me vachaskaro bhavishyatiti. But because he will be my only son, only child, only son, only offspring, he will be my only offspring, he will be my only sole issue. And because he will be the sole enjoyer of the whole kingdom, of the whole empire, and of of the whole Aishwarya, whole majesty and opulence. That is why it is possible that he might not follow what I say. He might not carry on, he might not carry out the decrees and the orders issued by me. Me vachaskaro bhavishyatiti, shokata iti tat dukkham maya sodhamyamiti. But that distress, that if he will not follow my orders, if he will not carry out my decrees, and that distress of not being obedient to me, that distress I will tolerate. Maya sodhavyamiti manasi vicharya radhatu ananta eva iti gyayam. And for now, the king became full of happiness. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Now there are many different types of explanations given on this shloka that we will try to discuss in some other class. So, we have time for questions, or we can just go on for the Aarti of Hare Krishna. If you have questions, you can ask me individually.
Hare Krishna.